Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Elementals, a conversation with Steph Mina Brady. Earth and nature seem to have magnificent powers. What if what we write off as Mother Nature simply doing its job is something much more complex? Something involving beings that we can neither see nor fully understand? What if these beings loathe us and our destructive ways of caring for the Earth? Today we discuss the world of elementals with paranormal investigator Steph Mina Brady on The Grave Talks.
I was probably like 4 or 5 when I would see angels like go by the window or be in the room. And then as I grew up, I kind of lost that. But then in college, I had a boyfriend that died. And for the first 3 nights after he died, there was an opaque white mist in the shape of a person in front of my bed. And every time I looked to try to get up, he would block my way. And my roommate woke up and saw it. But the day of the funeral, that was the last day I ever saw him. So that piqued my interest.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's go back to the angels that you were talking about. Number one, right. Defining it as an angel. How did you get there? Tell me in depth. If somebody said, what did you see? What was that experience like other than just I saw angels? Explain it to me.
Yeah, I was just sitting in bed looking out the window. Couldn't sleep. It was night. And just looking out the windows. And I'd see that they would be like divine creatures with wings floating by.
Almost like you'd see in a painting or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Exactly. It's just beautiful and divine and glowing all over.
So it was very obvious to you what it was. It wasn't you just assigning that label to something that you didn't know what it was. It was clear as day, like, this is what I've seen in books and paintings and all that.
Yeah, it was definitely clear as day, without a doubt. We did a church and everything. I mean, I grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of angels in there. So, you know, pictured in the Catholic Church. So, yeah, I definitely knew what they were.
How old were you when these experiences were happening?
It was about 4 or 5.
And when you were seeing these, did these sightings continue on as you got older? Or was it mainly in that 4 to 5 window?
They didn't. You know, the way people say is that the kids are told, no, you didn't see that. And they lose that over time. All kids are born with the ability to see. Mm-hmm. And they do see spirits and angels and everything. But as they get older, people tell them that, no, you're not seeing it. You're just seeing things. And so they gradually start to believe it and lose the ability. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened to me, to be honest.
Why? I mean, when you look back on this and you recall this, I'm assuming, you know, pretty clearly, why do you think you were seeing the angels going past your window? Was there something going on in your house at the time? Are they just always there? I mean, explain to me that.
They were just always there at night.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if there was anything special going on in the household at all. It was, I daydreamed a lot. I thought a lot. You know, I played with myself a lot. I was a loner. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do, would stare out the window in the dark. And I would just see them floating by or, you know, so.
Did they, in terms of size of what you were seeing at your window, were they like the size of human beings or were they smaller, larger?
They were smaller. They were smaller, about half the size.
Really?
From what I remember.
Did you ever talk to anybody about it? Did you ever talk to your parents or friends or anything?
I did talk to my parents, and they said, no, you got a great imagination. You're just seeing things.
So it was just dismissed.
It was just after a while, you just kept it to yourself.
As you got older and you looked back on that experience, was there times where you too believed, you know, it was just childhood imagination?
No, I never believed that.
No?
I always believed it was, no.
Okay.
I always believed it was angels, without a doubt.
So there was no doubt as you got older that, yes, in fact, you were seeing it. You just didn't take what other people were telling you, where they were trying to dismiss it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
There's no doubt, because now, I'm intuitive. I know things. I did shut it down for a while, you know, which I'm finding it harder to get back then. But, I know I have gifts, mm-hmm. without a doubt. I think everybody has gifts, quite honestly. They just have to work at it.
Sure. Tell me about, so you had that experience very young age, you go through teenage years, and did anything else happen in childhood where you were sensitive or that you look back on, and we're coming to working towards this situation where it happened to your boyfriend, but between those windows, was there other experiences for you?
Not really. Uh-uh. That was just about it from what I remember.
So you had it kind of in your lexicon of, I've had an experience already. I was very young, but I remember it happening and I believe it happened. So
exactly. It's instilled in my mind forever.
So when your boyfriend tragically passes, tell me that story. What happened? How did you get the news? And then how did this experience occur with the mist?
Well, I knew I had a feeling something was going to happen. In fact, I was supposed to go out with him and be on the back of the bike, but I backed out and I told him to wear his helmet, and he went off not wearing it. And evidently a truck ran him over, and motorcycle truck crash. I heard, because unbeknownst to me, he had a fiance.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And she wanted me to come over. She told me about it and wanted me to come over and sit with the family. Why? I have no idea. That I did, and in fact, she wanted me to be there when they pulled the plug. That I wouldn't do. But they did end up pulling the plug 10 days later, and that's when I started seeing this white mist for 3 days. And the rule of thumb, one of the rule of thumbs is that you have 3 days to go to the light, and then it disappears. And then you become what they call an earthbound spirit or a ghost.
Okay.
Wandering around.
And I want to talk about that in a moment, but tell me more about where were you when you saw the mist? What was the environment? What was the setting? What were you feeling as you had those experiences?
I was in bed, and the first night I just woke up and to get a drink of water and sat up, and there it was right in front of me. And then I'd try and get up like anybody would and turn on the light, and it would block my way. Like I said, my roommate woke up the second night and saw it. It was always dark. It was always after midnight, and I would always wake up and see it there blocking my way. I don't know if he had a message to tell me or if he just wanted to send his love before he went, mm-hmm. or what it was, but I just know he was there for 3 nights. And like I said, the day of the funeral, that was it. That was the last time I ever saw him. Now I've talked to psychics that said he's still with me, but I don't know.
Did you know that it was him when you saw the mist?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
How so? How did you know that it was him?
It's just a feeling. It's just, honest to God, just a feeling, intuitive feeling. I just knew. There was no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no doubt. I could feel, it's the energy. I could feel the energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And people, you know, living people give off a certain energy. Sometimes, you know, depending on your level of sensitivity, you could be blindfolded and you could have people walk in and out of the room and you could almost identify who they are just by that energy.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Everything gives off energies. The demonics give off energies. The earthbound give off energies. Even the aliens give off energies. And actually, I'm working with an energy teacher now that you can sit in your own house and bring that energy over to you and get rid of it in your own house. And it actually has been working. It's incredible.
And we can talk about that too in just a moment.
Right.
I want to ask about when you are in that situation and you are encountering the energy of your boyfriend who died. You know his energy from when he was alive. Does it feel the same? Is there something different about it when someone has passed? Is there anything different about it? Stronger, less, you know, anything? Or is it just...
It's less.
Okay.
It's less, definitely, because I think, in the end, what I've been told is that once you cross over, you're not as strong as you can be. You have to work for it, like anything else. You work for elevating to different levels, to learning how to, just like you do here, you know, learning how to walk, learning how to run. You do the same thing in spirit. So you work at your life. You bring your, you're the same personality when you die as when you were alive. I mean, if you're, you know, a mean old cuss, you're going to be mean old cuss. You carry your personality and your free will over with you.
How did you walk away from that experience after 3 days of seeing this mist in your home, knowing it was your ex-boyfriend or your deceased boyfriend? When you walked away from that, when that stopped, what was going through your mind?
It actually calmed me because it convinced me that there was an afterlife, whereas before I wasn't sure.
Okay.
I mean, I was like a lot of people were scared of death then. So it did. It calmed my nerves. It told me that there was an afterlife, and that he was, and that he was okay. You know, that's how I felt, that he was okay.
Did you share that you felt you were having these visits with his fiance that you found out after the fact was there?
I didn't share it at all.
Okay.
No, I didn't think it would go over very well.
Sure. That might cause a little friction. Yeah. I mean,
exactly. I wasn't very welcome in the house. I don't know why she invited me, but I was not welcome in that house. It was clear.
I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, you're getting the visits from your boyfriend, and then after the fact that he passes, you find out there's another person there. How did that affect, I mean, how you felt about the situation of him visiting you? I mean, there had to have been some hurt there, I would think, unless you had been aware.
There was a lot of hurt, but I think the feelings were stronger on his end than mine, you know? I think he was in love, and I wasn't, so there really wasn't a lot of hurt, a lot of shock.
Okay.
Definitely a lot of shock.
Yeah.
And a lot of wonderment. I still, to this day, don't know why she wanted me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it boggled my mind.
So you have the experience of your boyfriend visiting you after his passing. You get the confirmation that there's something more in this world and there is an afterlife. Where do you take it from there? Do you have more experiences after that, prior to getting more into investigative work? Or where does life take you at that point?
Life took me to raising 3 boys, quite honestly, for 30 years.
Okay.
And then after that, last one left the nest. I decided it was my time to do my passions. I became a paranormal investigator. I, you know, got tattoos. I got a convertible. I just started doing everything I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my passions were the paranormal and helping people. So it's great because I get to combine those two.
How did you begin going into the world of paranormal investigation?
I got with a group. I actually, and I, they trained me basically for about a year or two. I stayed with them, and then I decided it was time to grow, so I started my own group. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what was it like, you know, entering that world of paranormal investigation, having had experiences, you know, 30 years prior, but, you know, you're a whole new person 30 years later. You know, things are obviously quite different in your life. What's your mindset going into this? Obviously, there's interest and there's passion there, but this is a whole new thing to take on. So how are you going into it and learning, and what are you experiencing as you enter that world?
I went into it with excitement, with adrenaline, quite frankly. I wanted to help the spirits cross over, quite frankly. It's something I've always wanted to do. I feel bad that we're just cleansing them at some point and sending them out in the world, and I don't know where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of them, I believe a lot of them really want to go cross over, and they don't have any means to do it. So people have to help them cross over because they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, I mean, there's many reasons why they're stuck. They could have died angry. They could have died fast. They don't know they're dead, so just wandering around. They're attached to the land or people or whatnot. So There's a variety of reasons why they're stuck, but a lot of them do want to cross over.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.